Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Turn it up.
Let's kick it off.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ovechkin, he scores. He did it. He did it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Butler will drive in.
The shot's good, and you're going to put him on the line.
Doncic, step back three. It's good.
Mitchell drives to lane. Pow! With the right hand.
Earlier on the show, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Former NFL general manager Mike Mayock. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had a great chat with Gary Bettman about the Four Nations face-off, which wrapped up in the city of Boston, from which our next guest is about to join us. Albert Breer is about to join us. Mike Mayock in hour number three. And there's you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on this Monday to kick off Combine Week. I'll be going to the Combine on Wednesday. Susie will be sitting in the chair Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll zoom in every now and then just to tell you what's up, what's going on in Indianapolis. And what it is it's just it's the annual re-kick to the NFL season. The offseason is going down in full swing, and there's lots to talk about. So when I reach out to Albert Breer to say, hey, would love to have you on, and he's just like, well, is it okay if I do it from Logan Airport? My answer is absolutely. Just make sure you pick me up in Us Magazine so we can see who does it just like me. You know what I mean? And I believe he's just completed doing that.
$12 water.
After getting, yeah, his $12 water. Yeah. Maybe a pretzel. Although you don't strike me as a pretzel guy, Albert. Are you a pretzel guy?
I'm not a big pretzel guy. Mm. We have Dunkin' Donuts over here because it is
course.
Boston.
Of course.
That's within sight. Obviously. And okay. Hudson News. Like, so hey. I can get your Us Magazine there.
That's right.
Yeah, get your Us Magazine there.
Pick me up in Us. Let me know.
Yeah.
And hand it to me in front of, you know, everybody at the Combine. And you know, it'll spark questions as always is.
Good conversation piece. It definitely would be.
So what in your estimation is the biggest question going into the scouting combine, do you think?
I mean, Albert. You're talking about like NFL in general or just the college?
You name it. You name it.
I think the quarterback carousel is really what it is. And, you know, I think the part of this is driven by the fact that there are a lot of teams that that don't view there being many answers in this year's draft class at the position. And so, you know, if you're not wild about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and just about every team I've talked to has said the first three guys last year, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, would be the number one overall pick this year. So if you're not wild about the idea of Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, then you're looking at the veteran market. And I think as unsettled as Matthew Stafford's situation is, that's something that I think, you know, comes to a critical point this week with everybody in one place. Where does Aaron Rodgers fit into all of this? How does Sam Darnold play into all of this? Russell Wilson. There's actually like a fair amount of veteran names out there. And in my mind, at least, the big domino is Matthew Stafford and what happens with him. And once that's settled, I think then we see some other pieces maybe start to come into place.
So then let's hit it, because I just finished up the first hour of the show saying that every now and then there's just an NFL story where I don't get it. And, you know, Matthew Stafford and the Rams parting ways would be one of those. Like, I don't get it. We're obviously, you know, the team that came closest to beating the Eagles in the playoffs were the Rams. And and Stafford doesn't appear to be slowing down. He appears to be even getting better with age. And and why would he want to leave the Rams too? So what is this? What is going on right now, Albert?
The first couple of things I want to establish here. I don't think he wants to leave Southern California. I think he really likes living in Southern California. I think he really likes playing for McVay. I think that relationship is still on really solid ground. This is about the contract. And it goes back to last year. They had a six-month negotiation that really didn't end in a solution. It ended in a Band-Aid. He got a $5 million raise on paper, but that $5 million was only borrowed money from future years. So $4 million from 25 and $1 million from 26. And, you know, when a team does that with a player, it's basically an acknowledgement. We're going to be back at the negotiating table a year from now because this player is not going to play for this lower number. Play for the lower number, then you didn't get a raise at all. There was that acknowledgement that they would revisit things. When they removed the guaranteed money from 25 last summer. And, I think this thing, the complications that existed last year still exist. I think the biggest thing you want to look at here, Rich, is timelines and where the teams are and where the sides are. And Matthew Stafford's 37 years old and everything's about right now for Matthew Stafford. He's been through a lot physically. The quarterback market has once again gone way past what he's making. There are nine quarterbacks now making over $50 million per year, and rightfully so. He feels like he should be in that group of quarterbacks that's making over that number. You know, on the other side, you've got the Rams who are looking at it and saying, okay, well, we've got a younger team now, and we're the second youngest team in football, and we're building around Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams and Kobe Turner and Byron Young and Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and all these great young players that Les Snead and Sean McVay have gotten there. And it's, do we go all in at $50 million with a guy when we may not be sure he's going to play a second year, a third year on whatever the new contract is. And that's what causes you to look around a little bit. And if another team is willing to swoop in and give you a first round pick, now maybe you look at it and you say, is Aaron Rodgers willing to come to Los Angeles on a discounted rate? And then he's our one-year answer. Instead of Stafford being our one-year answer, we save all this money. And, oh, by the way, we get all these picks as part of the exchange. It's, I think, another example of the Rams looking at things a little bit differently than other teams do. I think it's a result of Matthew Stafford looking at it and saying, I've only got so many more years to earn left, and I should be making what I'm worth. And, again, I think just the timelines of the two sides are in different places. You know, the Rams forever were this win now machine, you know, like we'll do whatever it takes. We'll move any assets around to win right now. That's what Matthew Stafford came into in 2021. It's an organization in a different spot right now.
So what's the timeline to get something decided, right? Is it the new league year, Albert?
Yeah.
It is.
There's a roster bonus. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's a roster bonus that I think is due in the middle of March. That is sort of the, and I think it's, I don't think it's even like that costly. I think it might be $5 million. It's something like if you're the Rams, you know, you don't want to pay out, you know, whatever that roster bonus is. You don't want to pay that out if he's not going to be on your team this year. So, I mean, for that reason, that's sort of a deadline that sits in there. And you also, if you're the Rams, like, hey, like, if you're not going to be our quarterback this year, well, we want to be in on Aaron Rodgers, on Sam Darnold. We need to figure out what we're going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, who Sean McVay really likes, by the way. That's sort of where they are. So I would say, I mean, it's not like it's a hard deadline in the middle of March, but I'd say you want to get it done by the middle of March. And really, like, this week is the time to do it, because this is the week when you might have a cup of coffee with Sam Darnold's agent. You might sit down with Aaron Rodgers' agent and discuss all of these things, you know? So this is a critical week, I'd say, for Stafford and for the Rams to figure out where they're at going into 2025.
Have numbers been exchanged and thus deemed by either party on, you know, not seeing eye to eye on that, and thus And Stafford's shopping, allowed to shop? Like, what's
this? Yeah, so here's what's interesting about it. I know Tom said to mention that on your show, right? Like on Friday, right? That he has permission. He's had permission for 2.5 weeks now. He got permission from the Rams to go talk to other teams during Super Bowl week. So they've had a lot of time to look at this and gauge his value. And, you know, so the teams you'd expect, the Giants, the Steelers, the Browns, the Raiders, are in that mix. Now, I don't know what each team offered. I'm sure some teams were probably short of the $50 million number. What I can say is, coming out of that, I think he felt more resolute that $50 million, that like that he should be in that class. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to hold a gun to the Rams' head and say, you got to give me $50 million or I'm out of here. But $27 million, which is where he's at in cash for 2025, is not close to 50, you know? So the Rams have to get a hell of a lot closer, at least, I think, to work this out. And, you know, again, like that's sort of the risk in letting him go out and take a look is you let him go take a look, like he might get an answer that you don't like. And like, my understanding again is that he came out of this with more resolve that his worth is in that range where the top nine quarterbacks are for 2025.
Well, I'll tell you what, Albert. I mean, like if this doesn't get done, you know, and I'm Rodgers or Darnold or Kirk Cousins, if I'm sitting on the bench in Atlanta, name the quarterback I'd want to be the guy in Los Angeles. Send me to the Rams. Yeah. I mean, certainly if you're Rodgers, my goodness gracious. Like what
lives in Malibu.
Not just that though. I mean, you know, you're pushing 41 and you get to finish with the Rams with McVay and Puka, and you know, maybe if Kupp isn't there, then maybe Devontae comes there too. You know, Devontae wants to be on the West Coast, according to all the, you know, the narratives. I mean, my goodness, if you're Darnold also, you know, you just blossomed under Kevin O'Connell. Well, we all know where the tree is.
Yep.
It's McVay.
And he's like, from LA too.
This is it. I mean, like, what an opportunity this would be for anybody, including Stafford, I might add. You know?
Yeah, it's fascinating because I do think the Rams, like, I mean, they know what they have to sell.
Yeah.
They have a lot to sell, you know? And oh, by the way, like if you're Kirk Cousins, like we'll throw another name out there, you're coming on the league minimum. And now all of a sudden the Rams have like all this cash to spend that maybe they didn't have before. You know what I mean? Like, so now they can go be aggressive around Kirk Cousins while maintaining that young core. You know, it's just, again, like it's like a different way of answering the question, but it's interesting to think about because we shouldn't forget like how good Stafford is and that the Chiefs. So like Matthew Stafford had them there and coming back against that defense that gave Patrick Mahomes so many issues. You know, so like on one hand, you look at it and you say, well, like, why would you walk away from that if you're Stafford? On the other hand, it's not just one player that was there. It was the whole team that was there. So that could be an attractive situation for another quarterback as well, especially when you consider, again, if you're Rodgers willing to take less or your Cousins who comes in on the minimum because of the offset, you might say to yourself, like, wow, like I can go play for that team and they're going to have room to spend around me. Like, sign me up for that.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to fly off to Indianapolis within the hour to head to the combine. And I've seen you work rooms and hallways, Albert. And I understand, you know, you mentioned the quarterback class coming in and its relation to the free agent market. Outside of that, what's the first answer you're going to want answered when you see a decision makers in the combine and you work a room and you're working a hallway? What are you looking to get an answer to, Albert?
What position is Travis Hunter going to play?
Okay, go for it.
I just think he's the most interesting draft product. I've covered the league 20 years. This will be my 18th combine. I think he's the most interesting player to come into the NFL in my time covering it. I did a big column that went up this morning previewing the class and the combine. And I had our mutual friends, Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay, as the voices in there. DJ compared Travis Hunter as a receiver to Devontae Smith and as a corner to Darius Slay. Todd McShay compared Travis Hunter to Garrett Wilson as a receiver. So, I mean, you think about like how rare that is, right? Like, think about that. Like, that he could be that good a player on both sides of the ball. So, you know, I think going into this, I think most teams look at him and say, we'll have him as a corner and we'll package him on defense, which, by the way, is how Colorado used him. Colorado played him full time on offense, but he was doing his meeting time, his practice time, all of that was on defense. And they were coming up with packages to incorporate him into the offense and signaling routes in from the sideline to kind of help him make it work. Can you do that in the pros? I think one underrated storyline on him for this week is how much he weighs. You know what I mean? Is he in the 170s or is he in the 190s? That's going to, you know, play right into that durability question on whether or not he can hold up playing both ways. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think when you and DJ are sitting up in that booth, on over the weekend, Rich, it's such a rich conversation. There's so much to it. I think he's the most interesting player that I've covered, you know, going into a combine in 20 years covering the league.
Well, speaking to the same individuals that you spoke to, and McShay and Daniel, and obviously we had Dion on at the Super Bowl, and Mayock and others, and I'm just putting together the pieces here on Travis Hunter. The general sense is he's going to be a corner. That's where he's going to play all of his, you know, snaps, with the exception of a package on offense. And then there's a question as to how large that package is and how many snaps, 6, 10, 15. And that's the general sense, because as Dion said, there's no way a coach in the NFL can have somebody who can take half the field away on defense and be the best playmaker on your offense standing next to you when the offense is out on the field. That is the way Travis Hunter is coming into this league. That's the general sense I'm getting on this.
Yeah, it really is crazy. And, you know, it's a great credit to the kid too. Obviously natural ability plays into this. There aren't that many people that can pull this off physically, if there have been any, you know, in recent years. I also think, and this is something that like a lot of the guys who are on the road in the fall have said to me over the course of the last few months, like the level of conditioning and the level of mental toughness and mental focus and just, I mean, all those things that kind of fall under the heading of football character that it takes to pull off what he pulled off at Colorado the last 2 years is off the charts. You know, we always talk about how like the interview is so important in getting to know the kid and trying to figure out who he is. This kid is almost like he doesn't have to do that. Just like, look at what I just pulled off. You know what I mean? You want to know how I'm going to fit in. You want to know what I'm willing to do for the team. You want to know how I condition and how I work. You want to know how locked in I am on the mental side of the game? Take a look. It's all right there. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's the part of it that Travis Hunter probably doesn't get enough credit for, is exactly what it takes beyond just physical ability to pull off what he just pulled off. Again, conditioning, mental toughness, mental focus, all of those things to do it and do it at the level he has. It's just mind-blowing. And so someone's going to get a really good football player. I don't know exactly what it looks like, what it's going to look like his rookie year. I'd imagine maybe, you know, like they kind of work it up, you know, like it starts with a little on offense and a lot on defense, and then maybe you start to work up the offensive side of it. But I'm fascinated to see how it plays out.
So then which prospect that's available in the draft, Albert Breer, as we're winding down our conversation you had on your plane there, which prospect is the most likely to have somebody trade up to number one overall to give the Titans a godfather package? What do you think?
I mean, you always default to the quarterbacks.
I know, but you got Abdul Carter and this unicorn
I think it's Carter. I mean, I think it's probably Carter would be my guess. Like I've had people tell me he could run 4.3. You hesitate to use unique because he has a lot of like, and it's almost like Micah Parsons a couple of years ago launched a new genre of player. because people had such a hard time placing Micah Parsons. It's like, okay, like he's a great edge rusher and he's a great off-ball linebacker, but how exactly do you use him? And then, as it turns out, over the last 4 years, we found out that dealing with him for an offense is an absolute nightmare. So now you see other players in college being used that way. And Abdul Carter is one of them. Jalen Walker from Georgia is another. Abdul, I think, is the one, though, because like if the Titans really badly want to get out of there, I don't know if they'll get the quarterback premium for the first pick. But Abdul Carter is like the type of player I think you can build a defense around and play such a premium position. And what we just saw in the Super Bowl is obviously a part of this too. We just saw what a great defensive line and great pass rushers can do for you. I still have it in the back of my head that it's Abdul Carter, because I do think like he's like he and Hunter are the two best players in the draft, I think. And I think there's a little bit of a gap after that. And, you know, before you get to like the Mason Grahams and the Will Campbells and those guys. But I think like Carter's just an easier translation to the NFL. Like, you know what he's going to be when he gets to the league. Whereas with Hunter, there's a little bit more of a question.
Well, and the Browns already have one of those guys, right? And the question, yep. as I let you go, is where does Myles Garrett stand right now, Albert?
I mean, the Browns haven't moved much off their spot, is my understanding. You know, they've gotten calls. And look, like this week could change things, certainly. I do think one of the things that, you know, is interesting about Myles Garrett's his plan of attack here is like that, again, when they got it out there that the trade request had gone in, it had been in for about a week, and he'd reached a point of frustration where he felt like the right thing to do was to make it public because that could force the Browns' hand. And what it did for the Browns is it made it so they don't have to call anybody, right? Like all those calls are going to be incoming once Miles got that out there. So, I mean, I guess it's like, I go back to my childhood watching WWF, like it's like the $1 million man used to say, everybody's got a price. There's a price somewhere, I'm sure, for Myles Garrett. It's just, I don't know where that price is, you know? And whether or not somebody's going to reach that price. I do know that it's really, really high. And right now the Browns' stance with other teams has been that there is no price. But I think you and I both know, like, you know, like there eventually could be a point where, you know, you get to it and you say, okay, we won't have to redo a contract. This is a great player. We don't have a quarterback situation cleaned up completely yet. Maybe that's Kirk Cousins. Maybe that's somebody else. So if somebody comes in and offers us 3 first round picks or something crazy, do we have to think about it? Maybe they do. But as of right now, like their stance has been, you know, his trade request hasn't changed anything. We view him as a part of our team going forward.
Do you get a window seat so you can wave to Columbus as you fly over it? Albert?
Oh yeah. I might be able to see the new banner. You look kind of nice, you know.
You walked into that one.
No flags. No flags on that team though. No. On that field though. No but, flags anymore.
I don't know, Albert. There's the NHL is having they're having one of those outdoor games. In Columbus, the Crew versus the Red Wings. And if I'm the Red Wings, I bring one of those drills, you know, that you drill to go ice fishing. Put a right win the game and just go right to center ice. You know what I mean? That's what teams from Michigan do.
The Blue Jackets actually have, like, I think 3 or 4 Michigan guys on their team.
Oh,
I
smart.
Think that's right.
That's smart. Yeah. It's smart.
I don't know where they are in the standings. You can look that up.
That's okay, Albert. We're all focused on a fascinating combine, to say the least. And I will see you. I'll see you soon in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Albert Breer, senior reporter for Sports Illustrated, MMQB, and, of course, part of Prime Video's Thursday Night Football, heading off to his plane in Logan Airport. That went better than you could think. It was nice and
he
got to a quiet spot.
Of course.
Uh-huh. I hope he does hand me an Us magazine.
Stars. They're fun. Like us.
They're just like us. They ask for trade demands, just like us.
They want raises, just like us.
So much to hit. You know what? When we come back, we'll discuss it. The it being somebody wants the tush push out of the National Football League, and it's not just Jim Nantz. That's coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rules changes, that's part of Combine Week as well. We all take supplements, or at least we know we should. But why are so many supplement companies charging ridiculous prices for products that really aren't that special? It's frustrating. And frankly, for all of us, it's unacceptable. That's why I want to introduce you to LiveGood, a brand that's turning the supplement industry on its head, because LiveGood believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by their industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. That's why I love when a box of LiveGood comes to my house. They sent me organic super greens, multivitamins, collagen, weight loss products, protein powder, and more. Skincare products, too. All highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. No wonder they're one of the fastest growing supplement brands on the planet, with over 1.5 million customers and counting. Ready to make the switch and start saving? I'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
The Lakers will be all right. I know you guys, I know, especially you. I know y'all waiting for us to fall, and y'all are just
waiting.
In it, basking.
Where have you been the last 6 years?
I mean, what have y'all been doing over there in the East without LeBron? Nothing. That's cool.
I mean,
we'll be all right. As long as y'all don't win and we win, I'm good. As long as the Celtics don't win the championship,
you're not doing any winning
season for a Laker fan.
You're not doing any winning either.
Look, man. All right. Well, stay at the house with me then. Chill out. You know what the best part about Godzilla King of the Monsters?
What is it?
We destroy Boston in the movie. We level it. Just level it. I love it. It's so many references. It's a Laker fan's dream, Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Oh, my gosh. Dodger fans, too, because obviously the Celtics standing
yeah,
in the way.
Yeah, and the Rams.
Patriots and Rams.
Golden Dragon.
Delusional
Laker fan
is my favorite.
That's cool. What are you guys called? You Celtics.
I look, O'Shea, I'm here for your Boston hate. I'm here for it.
Oh, okay? Thank you.
Speaking of somebody who's from New York City and a diehard Yankee fan, right. I would take it in liquid form and inject it into my veins. But you really don't have much of a position right now to carp on a Celtic fan as a Laker fan. You just really are. You don't have
position. I mean, are
position.
They winning championships?
No, I know that. But you don't have, like, you're out of position under the boards right now. You're reaching in. You're going over the top. I'm calling the foul right now. And I'm sending
look.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Fine.
Like, you don't have much of a
Listen,
position.
I am a Los Angelino. I'm a Los Angeles Laker. a non-Laker fan will never see me sweat. I will die with the Golden Army. They will bury me at center court. And I will not let a Bostonian get under my skin.
Happy 34th birthday to our guy, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Hey.
Fellow Dodger
right
fan.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Here on the program, just said goodbye to Albert Breer. During the first hour of this program, Judy Batista, my colleague from the NFL Insiders, NFL Network, formerly of New York Times. She's as locked in as anybody on what the inner workings of the National Football League are all about. Now, the combine isn't just for the prospects to come to town. Agents are there as well. The NFLPA meets with the agents. There's a meeting of the competition committee as well. They're there. Everybody uses the combine as a sort of kickoff, reset, all that sort of business. And Troy Vincent, the head of football operations, let it be known that there is an unnamed team, according to Judy Batista, an unnamed team interested in getting rid of the tush push. And it does appear that they'll have to reveal themselves, whichever team this is.
Ooh, you got to reveal.
You can't just like you
can't be like anonymous. The
you can't anonymously
mask
forward
team.
A proposal.
Who can it be now?
All right, we need a top five of who we think it is.
Yes,
which team is like we've had enough of this, and we're going to put our name on it, and we're going to be we're going to put it out there that we are done with this stuff. It's not a football play, whatever. I don't know what the sense is that it's not a football play or it's boring or it's unstoppable, whatever it is.
I see this as a TV show, the masked team.
The masked team, says Mike Del Tufo.
It is 100% the Giants, and this is payback for how good Saquon was this year.
Interesting. I like it.
I like Brock.
You want to chime in? You want to chime in, like TJ Jefferson? You want to chime in who it is?
I would chime in, but I'd really like to be able to sit here and look to see who they've used it the most against.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Like research. Because I don't have those stats. You know, the Giants might want to be a little Richard the King Petty about this. Sure.
I see the Chiefs.
It could be. Did you see in some of the reviews of the Super Bowl, Chris Jones lined up sideways on the tush push?
Oh,
yeah.
Where basically he and then try to utilize his outside foot as leverage of just using his entire length of his body, not the width of his body, the length of it. Guess what? Didn't work. Which is this point as well. And Jim Nance, again, went on What the Football with Susie Schuster, Amy Trask, Tuesday after the Super Bowl. And, you know, Susie's like bringing up with him, you've called more games, you know, for Mahomes than anybody else. What's your thoughts on that? And he transitioned himself to let's get rid of the tush push. You know, basically like it's unstoppable. It's not really a football play. And technically the Eagles... He was like saying, why don't they start using it on the 4-yard line if it's first and goal on the 4?
Right.
Start doing it from the 4. Like, you know, that it would take you 2, maybe 3 snaps to get in the end zone. Or it's, you know, second and 4 from wherever you are. Start using it then. You're going to go for it on 4th down and it's unstoppable. Get the first down that way. And he's saying that essentially to point out about how not a football play, he thinks it is.
Yeah, but is it only in the end zone? They
use it all the time. They use it all the time. They sometimes do it on their side of the field.
Where do you ban it?
Well, he says what he thinks it should be is that you only are allowed to use it a certain number of times in a game, sort of like a coach's challenge. Oh. And like, what if you get a first down on it, you get a third shot, you know? I don't know.
You just got to change the language if you're going to do this. You got to change the language so you can't
push another player.
Right. It's that simple.
You can't push another player.
That's going to be
with the intent of moving them forward with the football, blah, 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 blah.
That's going to be hard.
Do you have a problem with that?
Do I have a problem with that? Not really. I think that's fine. If you want to codify it in that way, it's okay.
I don't understand why other teams aren't as good at it.
That's been my whole point.
It's a copycat league, and you've seen it. Now, other teams are doing it with their tight ends, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that what the Eagles, I mean, the Ravens have done?
The Ravens have done it.
You bring Mark Andrews in motion, then he winds up under center.
Zach Ertz, too, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah, Zach Ertz was doing
So other teams are doing it. Why aren't other teams as good at it? And the Bills tried it with Josh Allen a couple times, but it was kind of like a muddle. Huddle type push, you know what
so
I mean? Like
it, the muddle huddle.
Well, I don't know because it wasn't set up like the same way. Right. And then you have like Ty Johnson or James Cook shoved Josh in his ass and to get him across.
Other teams don't have the best offensive line in football, which is what the Eagles have been for the last few years.
That's why
they're so good at it
because they're all 350.
And Hurts can squat 800 pounds.
That's the other thing, and they're not afraid to having Hurts do that.
Yeah.
It is just unstoppable, and I totally get why other teams would want it out because they can't stop it. But in terms of just seeing them set up for it, it's the only excitement is, can it be stopped? And if they stop it, that would be the only sense of excitement, unless Hurts pulls back and throws it, right? Or turns it into an option play.
Did
with
they run
one
like
of their,
a sweep out of it one time
done that.
In the past?
They've done that. But I wouldn't, if I were them, do that. What's the point of doing that when the straightforward stuff is unstoppable? Yeah. You're like running the risk of fumbling, or you're running the risk of having an incomplete pass. Like, it gets to the point of, like, why are you being inventive off of something that is such a blunt instrument that you can't stop? But if you're, I don't blame whichever team, but what's the, why is it unnamed right now? Put your name on it.
Yeah. Wear that.
Right?
Well, they don't want to be seen as
the
sore losers.
Hold on a second.
Right?
Hold on a second. Come on, Dallas, put your name on it.
Who knows?
Definitely NFC, right?
It's got to be division.
That's what
I
was thinking.
I like your sense of pettiness.
That's what I was thinking. John Mara is like, I'm sick of the meme of me with my head in my hands, you know, from Hard Knocks.
But in order for it to reach the level of the owners voting on it, the members voting on it in the last week of March, somebody's got to put their name on it. It's got to be a team or teams, plural, proposing this rule. For instance, I think, was it the Eagles that were the ones that also are trying to come up with an alternate to the onside kick, which is another, according to Rich McKay, who runs the competition committee, he's saying that is under consideration again.
It should be.
And I think they have to do it because the fact is, not only is the onside kick just so difficult to pull off, and they do that on purpose because if you are behind and needing to get the ball back and you are that desperate to attempt it, it should be difficult. Like, the team that's in front shouldn't be at the mercy of a play that has a large chance of working, right? And I understand that, but I also think it should be a little bit more successful to pull off than it currently is. And I think there might be tweaking the way that an onside kick is lined up, that you can line up for it. That's what Rich McKay is saying. They're looking at maybe that tweak or the ultimate tweak, which what I think they have to go to, which is a 4th and 15 or a 4th and 20 play from somebody's yard line deep in their own end that they have to pull off. And if they get a first down, they keep the football. And the reason why I think they have to go to that is because under the new construct of the dynamic kickoff, you have to declare, I'm going for an onside kick. And not only do you have to declare you're going for the onside kick, there's no element of surprise anymore.
And only in the fourth
quarter.
You can
only do it in the fourth quarter. That's crazy. We saw that in the Super Bowl this year, is that the Chiefs were on the wrong side of the fourth quarter. They were deep in the third quarter, and they couldn't go onside.
The game's over.
But there was a time in the Super Bowl where the game was over or they were getting desperate in the third quarter and unable to do it. So if you're not allowed to do that until the fourth quarter, even in the playoffs, even in the ultimate game, let's come up with something else where it is punitive to the team to attempt it and also a large, you know, a better chance of it being unsuccessful to benefit the team that's way in front. The only issue here is what do you do if there's a defensive penalty? Where you're just going to throw up a 50-50 ball, and then what? Automatic first down? There's a defensive hold. Don't hold. Don't interfere. Don't do this.
Replay the down, and if it's a second time, play dead.
So what? You only get a... Let's just... Because you know the number of times you're watching a game, and it's past the left on third down, right? Incomplete. Well defended or poorly thrown, route runs poor, or receiver falls down, right?
Yep.
And your team is, you're rooting for the defense, getting off the field. Up pops up that yellow rectangle flag, illegal contact far away from the play.
Ugh, the worst.
Or hands to the face, and it's kind of questionable, but it's thrown. What if that happens on one of these fourth and 20s?
Then it becomes fourth and 15.
What if, then what happens on the fourth and 15? If there's another defensive penalty,
fourth and 10.
Just to bring it all full circle, that tush push moment in the NFC Championship game where Washington kept jumping early
over
the center. And Sean Hockley basically was like one of those moments where you're turning the back to the kids. Don't make me pull this car over because I will give this team a score. Yep. If you don't knock it off in the back, don't make me pull this NFC Championship game car over, kids. I can call a touchdown.
Yep.
If I so choose. You don't want that moment to turn into that sort of theater.
But if you're doing it four times in a row, then you're not serious about holding on to this victory.
So it's not an automatic first down. You get the yardage.
What if it's pass interference?
Oh,
replay. Replay the down.
Replay the down from where? From the spot of the foul.
Sure, and make it fourth and whatever from that spot.
So fourth and 20 from the. Let's just say again. This is why you got to sound. This is why I need to be on the competition committee. Because I know the way it works. Because I don't know the way it works. Okay, let's say you choose the 30-yard line, your own 30-yard line is the spot from which the fourth and 20 takes place.
Okay.
All right. And your quarterback winds up and just launches it 30 or 40 yards down the field. And it is an absolute takedown pass interference. What happens?
Half the distance, fourth and 10.
Fourth and 10 from the 40-yard line now?
Yeah.
So then if your guy's completely beat, just have him take him down because it's only going to be fourth and 10 now. So you're actually telling the cornerbacks, get handsy. Because there's no ultimate penalty on you.
You should get a little handsy anyway. You're up two scores. Maybe treat it like a Hail Mary, where unless it's absolutely egregious, you just let it go.
What if it's absolutely egregious?
Well, then you lost. First down.
You can't codify that unless it's absolutely egregious. You got to put it in language, in writing, because a member of the NFL and all of his or her billions is going to have to sit there and say yay or nay, and they need to know exactly what it is, and they're going to have their general manager and team president and coach in their ear saying don't do it or do it. It needs to be 100% codified. It cannot be Chris Brockman on the Rich Eisen show saying, you know it when you see it.
It's better than what is happening now, where less than 5% of the time onside kicks are recovered, and the Chiefs had no chance to come back in the biggest game of the season. Well, that game was over before halftime, and they could have been, you know, getting back into it somehow. Which and that is game why, becomes more exciting.
Which is why a member of the NFL will be like, you know what, we've come this far for over 100 years with the rules being this way, and I don't quite get it, and you know what, don't fall 30 points behind in the Super Bowl. and we need to have this dynamic kickoff because I need to make sure my players aren't concussed on the most concussable play in the NFL.
If you really care about that, then you can't have, don't have kickoffs at all. You know what I mean? Like, you want to keep that play a part of the game, and you want to give teams a chance to get back in the game. Look, I understand. Hey, don't want us to celebrate? Stop us from celebrating,
right,
of course.
Right.
But the Super Bowl is a TV show,
right,
as you say, with a concert at halftime. So we don't want to lose viewers. Let's fix this onside kick rule so, you know, that doesn't happen again.
As always, I'm going to reach out to Rich McKay, who, by the way, I saw on the streets of New Orleans at the Super Bowl. And I said to him, I need to get on the competition committee. You know what he said? Good luck. He said, yeah, no, I know.
Quote, unquote. Oh.
No, no. He said, oh, I know.
Oh. Oh, he's heard your pleas.
Oh, he knows. Because I told him, you need to voice the fan on the competition committee. He said, reach out about having him on, not about me being on the
committee. Oh, I was like, reach out to who to get on the committee?
Well.
Him, I guess.
I don't know. I need to, trust me, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the program, we had mentioned earlier one of our favorites, TJ's No Contest Wrestling co-host, O'Shea Jackson Jr., turns 34 years old today and got a special shout-out from Mike Del Tufo. We noticed him sending out happy birthday to my friend and fellow Dodger fan.
Stupid.
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
What?
You're so stupid.
So.
I'm telling you guys.
You're the worst.
I'm Yankees Dodgers now. I'm both.
Absolutely not.
You cannot. You guys are not the commissioner of.
Yes,
let me
we
just
are.
Say
you
something
have to choose.
Team let me say something to you, Mike. And I know O'Shea defends you.
He's not here. See,
no,
this
no,
is
no,
unfair.
No. Susie loves you, and she is always the angel on my shoulder saying, be nice to Mike.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Let me say something to you.
Yes.
You don't deserve being nice to
the fact that you are choosing now.
30 years. It's my anniversary
got
in
it.
L.A.
30 years old.
30 years
yeah,
in
it's
LA.
Great.
It's my 30th anniversary in L.A.
And you
now,
and
yeah,
now
I've lived here more than New Jersey.
Okay.
And yet official.
And yet you did not ever choose. You know what? I kind of dig Matt Kemp a lot. Andre Ethier.
Kemp was dating Rihanna okay. at the time.
I did always that, like going to Chavez Ravine. I love that
and
drive.
And yet you choose now. Now, yeah, after the Dodgers did to the Yankees what they just did to the Yankees,
and you've
been
changed me.
And you've been a Yankee fan way longer than what your 30 years.
Oh, I've been a Yankee fan since the 70s.
Not anymore. You're not. You must renounce it. You cannot.
That's not.
Yes.
I'm not even
you can't do both. We need to print out new certificates.
Yeah. Jay Felly,
with
you might just
name
sign
on
it.
It.
Sign it. because you just watched them clown the Yankees the way that they clown them.
I don't have to read
and now you're going to root for them? Now you're going to root for them
for the
now.
The Yankees and the Dodgers. And if they play
what
each other.
What a front runner. What a front runner way to handle your business.
I have no problem admitting I'm a full bandwagon. If you can't beat him, join him.
That's wow.
I mean,
if,
since a kid, I mean.
It's just who he is.
The wow. Kevin Durant of the Rich Eisen yeah. show, Mike wow. Del Tufo.
I'm just, I mean, yeah.
Benedict Del Tufo.
Of all the
no,
times to see
like
you're a Dodger fan.
I can still.
You know what? We don't need you. We don't want you. We don't want you.
The just Mets in time. Want me to? I'm kidding.
He doesn't want you.
No. Once you don't, we don't.
No.
No.
He put up the cake corner. That was good enough for us.
I created the cake corner. I've already done enough in Chase Stadium. I created
the cake corner. Could you imagine being a diehard Yankee fan and saying now is the time you're going to root for the Dodgers because you've been here for 30 years? That now when the Dodgers are so clearly lame. The best team in baseball with clearly a chance to repeat. To three-peat the way that they're playing and just keep growing yeah. and finding international
go
superstars
Dodgers.
That
honestly,
say, I'm willing to take a plan where I'm on a pension plan. I'll play for you for practically nothing and take my money when I'm retired. Imagine you're going to use this moment now.
The way you made it sound, though, it doesn't sound like a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, they're champions. They've got yeah. the best team. They're not having to pay everybody.
So then you root for the Dodgers. Go ahead. You root for them.
I mean, I could, but I'm not. I don't dislike the Dodgers, though. That's the other thing. I've never
I don't dislike them either. I just dislike Mike for what he's doing right now.
Bingo. This Dodgers team's actually listen, very, very likable.
Mookie Betts and Freddie likeable. Freeman they and are. Dave Roberts
Ohtani,
and Shohei Ohtani.
And all those guys, very likable.
Absolutely. I'm sure Gavin Lux is a wonderful individual, even though he's not on the team anymore. You know, I mean, back on the Rich Eisen show, jeez. Talking about Mike Del Tufo being a total Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, I can never disrespect the Dodgers.
Let's disrespect the Mets instead.
Try.
Listen,
no, I'm on that one.
Listen, the richest man in the sport and the mercenary of mercenaries showed exactly why Mets fans should be in love with him. His listen. First at-bat as a Met, Juan Soto goes opposite field. I mean, just tomahawk that
Juan
thing.
Gone.
A gajillion miles left center field. First at bat as a New York Metropolitan.
In, surprise.
After all of this stuff.
Not a surprise.
He goes yard.
Who is he?
And he's wearing number 22. He's
he's
you know,
so good.
He's a philanthropist you know, as well.
He's a
future
he's
Syracuse
a
Met Brett Beatty yeah. will be driving around yep. Central New York in his new ride.
Yep. Brett Beatty will be on the main squad.
No, he will not.
Up and down
I-81.
Eventually,
by the end of the year, he will.
He will if he can pitch.
He doesn't.
My buddy Steve. My buddy Steve. I grew up with. He's a diehard Met fan. I'm like, he sends me and all the Yankees fans on a text as soon as Soto goes yard. And you know, and I'm like, who's your pitchers? Sean Manaea and mm-hmm. Senga. Okay. Yep.
And Clay Holmes.
And Manaea just got shut down.
Three great innings.
Clay Holmes pitched three great innings. That's great. Enjoy him. My God. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. You know.
Plan on it.
And you know, and so I said to him, who are your guys? Manaea and Senga? And he goes, yeah, they're sufficient. And I'm like, I can't wait to see who's going to win the Sufficient Young Award this year.
Wow, I guess the same pitching
great.
Staff that went 4-0 against the Yankees
sounds
last
great.
Year.
Sounds
we'll
great.
Take you on the Dodgers, TJ.
And then this guy over there just watches Alex Bregman in his first at-bat as a Red Sox go yard.
Me and TJ.
They are.
Just enjoying our free agent signing.
You know? That's all I'm doing. I just want to enjoy baseball.
And
it's
this guy.
Season,
I'm like, isn't that amazing that an ownership group spends the money that they have in spades on real talent and it works? And you're like, when is the Yankee going to? You text back, when is the Yankee going to actually hit a home run
we're
worth a damn?
Still waiting for your big free agent signing to make an impact.
I'm like, I'm mimicking your criticism of ownership. And I'm like, this home run proves you right, and you're still giving me crap.
We're in it, man. It's
absurd.
Go time. It's go time.
You're right.
Let's go.
And by the way, enjoy Clay Holmes because the Yankees announced today they're no longer playing New York after a loss. They're going to use other Sinatra songs. They're going to play That's Life, apparently.
Hey, it's life that I'm a Dodgers fan
that's
now.
That's funny.
Great.
That's right. Oh, you don't even care. You shouldn't care.
The new rules of the Sinatra playing after a loss were in place last year. The guy who would have prevented New York from being played more than anybody else is his new fresh starter ace. Enjoy Clay Holmes, dude. Enjoy him.
You said this about Severino last year,
God
too.
Bless
he
it.
Played pretty well. And
yeah,
where's
he now? He's now the ace of the A's.
That's fine. He played, he played well enough to give himself some money.
And that's all they are is the A's. That's
some
all they
money.
Are. Don't call them by their hometown.
Oh, yeah, just the A's.
It's just the A's.
The Athletics.
They're the Athletics.
They're playing at like a 10,000-seat minor league park. What a mess.
Dude. Fine. Enjoy Soto, which you should.
We're going to. What God, are you talking about?
God bless
Soto's
him.
Soto's going to hit like
so
80
bitter.
Home runs.
It's ridiculous.
That ball just landed.
That's awesome. Jeez.
It just landed.
Such a bomb.
You were so mad, and I get it.
Garrett Crochet had 4 strikeouts.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Yeah, it's fine. It's
Cy Young.
All good. Judge is on paternity leave.
Is he going to come back?
Yeah, he will.
Like, what, like September, maybe? Is he taking the whole summer off?
What are you talking about?
What is the Yankees policy?
He's enjoying time with the future home run king of Major League Baseball.
He's going to come back with a beard.
I don't even know if he has
Judge
a boy
go
or a
girl. Beard?
Huh?
Yeah, Judge comes back
go
with
beard?
A beard.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you guys see what I did on the Instagram
first guy
page?
With the beard back. The
who's going to be the first guy to test the beard policy?
Well, Devin Williams. He's going to grow it back.
He's going to grow it back. Very good. Yeah.
Rich, did you see on the Instagram this weekend how I drew beards on all those?
Yeah, the Major League Baseball had fun with it. That's great. That's
daughter, Nora Rose Judge. Daughter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Future home run queen of baseball. That's who he's hanging with.
Yeah. Nora Rose.
Oh, man.
She's going to be tall.
She's going to
be.
Oh, yeah.
She's
going to be so gonna be tall. Amazing.
All I know is that.
Oklahoma already signed her. Oklahoma softball.
I could tell Aaron Judge how great it is to be a girl dad. He's and how, you know, he's going to hit 70 home runs as a girl dad now.
Nah, I doubt that.
Okay.
Seven.
Why are you playing music? We're 40 seconds away from. What are you doing? You know, you have been worse since you've become a Dodger fan.
Garrett Crochet is the second best Cy Young odds. You better put some respect on that man's name.
No. Trust me, it's not Cy Young. According to my Met friend Steve, it's Sufficient Young.
That's how you
the Sufficient Young Award. The Mets are going to dominate.
Juan Soto, number 2 MVP odds.
Cooper keeps walking in the room and goes, "Dad, the Dodgers lost again."
Lost again.
Yeah, I know.
It's February
24th.
Exactly.
Was 10-3 last year.
When's the Yankee going to start homering?
Respect this man.
YouTube personality Benny Johnson has cracked the code on a new era of newsmaking.
It's got to be music to your ears. It's like the angels singing.
Listen, learn, and laugh.
I had a feeling you'd be in a very good mood. Oh, this is going to be a glorious day on Capitol Hill for you, sir.
It's a new cultural landscape.
So it's an important moment right now. Does this deserve another look?
The Benny Show.
Seize it in all of its glory.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.